And actually, I have 2 days to get the house cleaned up, is really what it comes down to. So I've been missing my family, but my family should be back here this next week. Matter of fact, this morning they're in Wisconsin and visiting family, but the church, it's a supporting church of Cross Point. They're Crossroad Community Church, Crossroads Community Church. They're having their 30th year anniversary today. And so the family is singing and they're doing a number of special events, but we are thankful for that church's impact on us as well over these many years. If you'd open with me to the book of Romans, we're jumping into Romans 11 again. Last week, we started looking at Romans 11, really in verse number 11. What I'm going to do is read 11 that we talked about last week, but I'm going to read it all the way down through verse 24. So if you could follow along with me as we read. Romans 11, 11. So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I am speaking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus have some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in this nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be ignorant toward the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Let's pray. Father, as we look at this text this morning, give us insights and a passion to serve and to follow and to faithfulness. In Christ's name, amen. So obviously this text has a lot of language about trees, branches. How many of you like to do things outdoors with plants? I would like to say grow plants, but I like to do things with plants as well, and sometimes they don't grow. Sometimes they die. So we moved into a new house about, 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, and in this house they had planted these trees. So there's a couple fruit trees, and then there's this tree that we're really not sure what it is. This tree is starting to wither, and I will go out and get my guitar and play songs to it. I do everything I possibly can to get this thing to grow. Like the deep watering you're supposed to do where it drips over, 6 days. You just get it really, really deep. I'm doing everything that I can, and I'm just hoping that it turns out that this tree will live. There's another tree on the other side that I didn't realize was dead when we bought it. Like the bark and everything looked green, it just didn't have leaves on it. I thought maybe it was a winter leaf, but this Palo Verde is going to have to come down sometime. It died, and You know, there's a lot of trees that when I'm involved with them, they die. Even at our Anthem home, I had trees removed. But the analogy that that Paul is making here, the metaphor of the tree, is not speaking of a complete tree dying. He's talking about some branches that have fallen off. If I could have you two gentlemen grab that for me. They're going to bring this table out, and we're going to look at a tree. Now, it's not an olive tree, but I had to go to my office, and I grabbed my bonsai tree, okay? So pretend it's an olive tree. Go ahead and set it a little further up, if you would. We're going to look, and we're gonna see what Paul is saying in regards to this olive tree, okay? I should have asked if someone happened to have a potted olive tree, but I'm assuming no one here had a planted olive tree. Yeah, okay. So we'll pretend that this is an olive tree, but the text says, and it picks up in verse number 16, if the dough, and this is where we left off last week, if the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. So he first starts off with a different analogy. So the dough and the idea that you have this unleavened dough, there's no yeast in it, and it is holy without any kind of compromise in it. If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so the whole lump. And then he transitions and says, and where he's going to spend his time. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. You know what the difference between my tree and the tree that Paul's going to be talking about? First of all, is the roots. Okay? With my tree, I can affect these roots, and these roots will die. It's not simply the top side of the tree. So if you look at this tree right here, this is a bonsai tree, a ginseng bonsai. It's actually my second one because I killed the first one. The bad thing is I'm actually not at work for being able to take care of plants, so they bring their plants to me, and I'm like, I really wouldn't do that. Like when they're gone for a week, like, can you water my plants? Like I barely remember to feed my children, let alone water a plant. But this bonsai tree, you can see some of the roots. It's a ginseng bonsai. It has these roots that kind of stand above. But just like any tree, the majority of the root system is going to be where? Underground. Okay, it's what was there. It's what it started with. And there's really going to be three different parts to the plant that Paul is going to be referencing. He's going to reference the roots, he's going to reference the branches, the natural branches, and then he's going to reference the non-natural branches, okay? And these were courtesy of Buff Community Center out front. So we have these unnatural branches. The difference between this plant, which I probably will kill, right? They last about 3 years for me. The difference between this and the root that Paul is talking about is the root is really the foundation for the Christian religion found in the patriarchs. Now, commentators really differed a little bit on the nuances of that, but the idea is that we have this whole tree root being brought up, and the analogy isn't left to Paul, actually. If you turn to Jeremiah 11, Jeremiah 11:16, and it's actually in the Proverbs. You can find a reference in Numbers as well. But Jeremiah 11, verse number 16, I'm going to read. It says, "The Lord once called you a green olive tree, beautiful with good fruit. But with the roar of the great tempest, he will set fire to it, and its branches will be consumed." You can see here, he's talking about as Israel, the foundation of Israel is not in question. What Israel, their belief in Yahweh and their dedication to God as their Savior and their Messiah, this was not in question. The branches were going to be consumed, though. That is, Israel would fall. Now, Jeremiah specifically talking about a fall in that time period as the Babylonians would come in and take them captive. But Paul referencing, as he has in chapters 9 through 11, how Israel has fallen, how they had a stumbling block over what they did with Jesus. Because when they actually saw the root system, they didn't believe it. When they saw that Jesus as Messiah had come and they did not do with Jesus what they should have, their support. They weren't getting the nourishment from the root. So it reads, "But if some of the branches, 17, were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree." Now, so he's talking about these two. So we have right here, we have branches that are coming off of what Christ has set up in salvation history. That is from when he said, "I am going to save you, and this is the means that I'm going to do it through." Okay, the seed of Adam, of Abraham, the new covenant that we find in Jeremiah. Some of the branches were taken off. And so as we look at some of these branches, I have one right here. This one is already dead, and I'm going to cut it off. I'm probably going to kill this thing today. I had a branch here who was not yielding any fruit, who was not, basically it was getting no nourishment from the root system. And so Paul, in saying that my desire, my prayer for Israel is that they would be saved, that they would be part of, connected to this root system, saying that some of them are broken off and taken off, but God, through Jesus Christ, has said that there are my other people. You remember, we've gone over this. I'm not going to bring back all of those passages, but even if you remember in Isaiah and Micah, where he's talking about there is a people who are not my people, and that they will be engrafted in. And so he says there are people, and you who are not natural, who are not part of the olive tree, have been added to this, and you have reaped the rewards. Pretend that it looks natural. Now, this is not really engrafting, and Paul wasn't trying to be an arborist. Does that sound right? Okay. He wasn't trying to be an arborist by saying this is how you can engraft a plant or a tree. But what he was saying is that there's benefit. And if you remember the text that Pastor Tim would have ended with in Genesis 11, And then they're going to start talking about Abraham. Right at that passage, it talks about, in that passage of Abraham's interaction with God. God, through Abraham and all of those interactions, gets to the point where he says to Abraham that all of the nations through you will be blessed. And so he's referencing this as he says, although a wild olive shoot, you take a wild olive shoot, you were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree. The Gentiles have been added. Now remember, let's go back. This is important because remember the context that we set up a couple months ago in Romans 8. You remember how Romans 8 ended? Romans 8 ended with all of these benefits that you would have expected to God's people through Israel. So I'm going to read them. Romans 8. I'm just going to begin and jump from verse to verse. Verse 28. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." He talks about how once they have been justified, they've been glorified. But what to those things, what does he say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 31. "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. Who will separate us from the love of Christ?" In verse 35, who will separate us? Nothing. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, he says none of these things in verse 37. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, and he goes through everything you could imagine, principalities, things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So then he speaks to Israel, right? So he then speaks to Israel and these Israelites, these Jews in Rome, to a divided, possibly divided church. At least they have the feelings of division, because as it was mentioned in Claudius in AD 49 had decreed all the Jews were kicked out of Rome. So half of this church, part of this church, had left for a couple of years. Had come back. And then at this point of Paul's writing, they've only been there a couple years. So you have him speaking now to Gentiles in our passage, saying, now, God has not cast off his people. We talked about that last week. God has not cast off his people. There is a remnant. There are still, the branches have fallen off. Some branches have been cut off. And you have been engrafted, and you have had these benefits. And as Paul is speaking, and he's spoken, wrote those words from Romans 8, and now he's talking to the Jews, he's saying, concluding in 11, you're still a remnant. These promises are still yours, even though they're directed at the Gentiles, or those who would say at that, both Jew and Gentile in Christ, but not the nation Israel, who had his covenant love, his steadfast love at that point. But there was an engrafting. There was a bringing in of the wild offshoot. One author noted that the benefits of engrafting, while Paul not being trained in these things, bringing it up for purpose of analogy, it's talking about the nourishment that it gets. If you picture a non-bonsai tree and the sap that comes and the nourishment that can come and the protection from the sap as you would have these shoots engrafted in. So he's picturing for them through the tree, through the first century bonsai tree, he's picturing with them the engrafting, the bringing in of Gentiles that are not natural. And mind you, think of not just the mindset of the Jews at this point, but the mindset of the Gentiles or the Greeks in Rome. They've just had the church all to themselves. The Jews were kicked out. And to them, it looks like God's people have been cast off. You don't have to have circumcision, the rites and the rituals, of the observing of the feasts. Paul speaks of that in 1 Corinthians. And then they come back, and Paul's point is, no, they are not the inferior. You were the unnatural. They were the natural offshoot of God's progressive, redemptive history. This remnant of believers that have come from time after time after time, from before Abraham, through Abraham, after Abraham, in the new covenant, there is this body that you are being added to. And so he speaks these words. He says in Romans 11, he says, although a wild olive shoot were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. So he's talking to the Gentiles and saying, they have not been cast off. Do not be arrogant like, oh yeah, now you can join us because we're the real deal. He said, do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. So he brings in this point. A very humbling thing. Actually, he's going to bring it up a little later. I'm going to continue reading. Then you will say, branches are broken off so that I might be grafted in. He says, deal with humility. Recognize the grace of God given to you. There are branches that have been broken off, but if those branches weren't broken off, there was not room for you. So as he uses this analogy, branches were broken off so that I say that, then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. It is because Israel had rejected God, that God had chosen to do it this way. Now, we don't know, obviously, if if Israel would have accepted Jesus Christ as their king and not stumbled over that stumbling block? Gentiles, he had already promised, would still be blessed. Would it look differently? But Paul's point is that it is because of they had fallen that you have this place. This is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Recognize the grace of God in this entire metaphor, as Paul is making the analogy. It is not because there's anything inherent in a better unnatural branch, but it was because of God's grace that he allowed the unnatural to be added to the natural. It is because of God's grace that we can have this faith. It is because of God's grace that we can be added, that we can be engrafted. Remember, it is not you who support the root. The root supports you. You realize that God has not saved you because without you, he would really be hard-pressed for good people? You realize that God doesn't say, well, that person is good enough. As much as you might hear on some TV show or something that I hope when I get to the end of my life, my good outweighs the bad. As much as you might think that, it is not because of anything inherent in how beautiful you are or what you could supply to the root. But it is by God's grace that you can attach yourself to the root, the foundation, Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ and his coming, truth of all about Jesus Christ from the time of Abraham and so on. It is because you can be added to him that he will nourish you. It is not you that are benefiting, or it is not Jesus Christ that is benefiting from having you added to him. Do you understand that? Does that make sense? It's not because of the good works that you have done. It is not because of how beautiful you are. It is not because you have you are a really solid branch. And it's not because you have such a quality about you and you're a deep green, and therefore, you know what? God is seeing, you know, that person should be part of my tree. Maybe we're taking the analogy a little too far. But that is how we think. That's how the Jews even ended up thinking, right? I remember many years ago I did a survey, a Christian survey, basically a religious survey. And so we'd walk from, this is in college, we'd walk from house to house. And I don't know if any of you had ever done this. This is a method to be able to introduce the gospel to people. So you'd ask, questions about religion and ultimately be able to end with the gospel in it. But time and time again in these surveys, when I go and talk to people at their houses, it was like, how do you, and one of the questions was, how do you know that you're going to be going to heaven? And you get, well, I've never killed anyone or raped anyone. I had that one time. If you didn't do those two things, then you were fine. Then you're going to go to heaven. Or it was, well, if I lived a good life and not hurt anyone. You see, the point is, every person has their own view of what is good. But Paul has already said, and he's gone through Romans 3 and Romans 6. So we all need him, and we all fall short. For all fall short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. It is not because of who you are. It is not because of the capabilities that you could bring to the church. It is solely because of God's grace that you can be saved. Now, he is saying this in the context of Gentiles and their response to the Jews. Be humbled. It's not like those Jews, I don't know what their problem was. Why would they reject God? I accepted him. So do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural bodies, it is easy for us to fall into faithlessness. Read verse 23. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. So he's now turning the argument, and he's turning it even just a slightly different way. He says, well, think about this as well. I'm going to read it again. Well, I'm going to read actually verse 23. Yes. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. So he's just given a warning to the Gentiles. He's just given a warning to them saying, now, you have to be careful of your own heart. And he said, there might even be some that are unsaved among you. You don't continue. You're demonstrating, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I'm about Jesus. But you really haven't had that conversion which demonstrates itself in perseverance and lifelong living for Christ or coming back to Christ. You haven't demonstrated those things. It's not true in you. You have to be careful because you need to not have pride in your own heart. It is not, note then, the kindness and the severity of God's severity to those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And then he speaks of the verse that I read. And they, and even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. His point, it's about belief. We cut this off. There was unbelief. But it is very easy for Christ to be able to say, I save you. If they continue in their belief, they are separated from Christ, but they can be engrafted in again. Salvation, regardless of whether they were Jew or Gentile. And Paul's been spending so much time talking about how he wants his Jews to come back and be re-engrafted, those who have not accepted by faith Jesus Christ. But Paul has said, this is about the root system. No matter what branch you are on this tree, no matter if you are natural or unnatural, it is about the roots that supply the life. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature, so Paul says, if God were to take something completely unnatural from what he had had in the centuries past and then grafted you in again, if you who were cut off by nature, were grafted in, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I believe Paul is making a case that God is not done with believing Jews. That as redemptive history continues to go, it wasn't simply this is completely gone, but this is, you now have a believing Jew. In order to be God's people, you have to have belief. You have to have belief. So what are some of the points, the last points that Paul is making here? In conclusion, in summary, there's roots, there's natural branches, and there's non-natural branches. It doesn't matter if you're unnatural. It doesn't matter if you're natural. The point is, are you connected to the tree? The point is, are you engrafted? Are you, maybe in the first century it was because I have religious Jew in me and I'm part of the 12th tribe or whatever it would be, that I can be added in, that I am God's people. Maybe in this 21st century it's I haven't killed anyone or raped anyone. But are you trusting something other than the tree itself? Are you trusting in something other than what God has revealed about redemption in the person of Jesus Christ? It is nothing in us. It is nothing that we have done. And to make the analogy that Paul has in challenging the Gentiles, he really is challenging the Gentiles at this point. He's saying, don't look down on them. I know you think that they have been cast off, but they haven't. God will can engraft them in again. If they continue on belief, no, but if they become believers, they're engrafted back in. It's the same way that we look at other people around us too. You know, I have family members who have fallen away, who I believe might not be believers. I'm hoping that they demonstrate their faith in Christ and come back to Christ. But the same God who has power and who is the nourishment in all of this can do far more than what I think he could by simply including me. Well, I'm glad that you included me, but what about that person that's down the street? And I keep thinking about this, and I brought it up last week. I continue to think about what is best for God. I continue to think about what God might want. And the point is, I don't know. And Paul sets this up. He's about to say the same exact thing in verse 25 and following. I don't know. So I ask you, first of all, have you been engrafted? Now, Paul, when he says, to be clear, when he's talking about engrafting, he's not saying that each additional branch in this is just an individual person. He's talking about people types, right? The Gentile, believing Gentiles engrafted, and unbelieving Jews that were broken off. But I ask you, are you connected to the root? Have you been engrafted? Are you a people of God? Or are you simply look like it? Are you something that's unnatural, that's outside of that tree, and God has not yet engrafted you in and brought you into his people? And he says, in order to be his people, you must have belief. Do you believe? Have you trusted? He spent chapter 10 talking about that, how both Jews and Gentiles, it is through faith that you can have salvation. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. Secondly, my question is, maybe you are connected. Are you entrusting that nourishment that he mentions? Verse 16, are you trusting, are you connected and finding connection to Christ on a daily basis? Are you growing in him? Then thirdly, what about the humility? We are saved by grace, and intrinsic in God's grace to us, that is undeserved favor. That means that I recognize it is undeserved. It's completely of God's grace. So do not become proud, but fear. That is respect. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. Are you continuing to live the life of a believer? Remember, I'm not talking about the actions, killing or murdering or raping someone. I'm talking about the connection that you have to Christ and the daily living with Christ. Are you connected to the branch? Are you engrafted? If not, this morning we're going to break and we're going to have a time of fellowship in just a second, in about 5-10 minutes, and then we're going to come back and conclude with a song. But I want us all to think about these things, that as we look at the olive bonsai tree here and we think, what am I in relationship to this root system? Where am I? Am I really feeding off of the nourishment, the benefit that I have in Christ, the riches that Ephesians 1 says that are mine in Christ? Or maybe you're not in Christ at all. Let's think through those things. Let's pray for one another. And if you need counsel on those things, just connect with us during the fellowship time or even after the song and say, I need to talk through these things. I need to be a believer. I need to walk closer with my Savior. Let's pray. Father, as we conclude our time in discussing your word openly in